Good morning, Tappers. This is a little different doing a podcast before the workday starts, so you get it into your feed a little later, but why not, right? It is Sweet 16 Day. We're back. The NCAA tournament is here yet again. It is Thursday, March 22nd. SnowTap WI is where you can find all of our stuff, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as on the blog, SnowTap WI. It's a website. Subscribe, iTunes, and Google Play. Here with you to talk a little bit about what happened at the Bucks last night, and then we'll break down a few different things from the tournament, which gets going later today. So the Bucks lost again. It's their second straight loss. Second straight loss against a good team. Lost 127 to 120. Giannis got hurt in the second quarter. He hurt his ankle, rolled it up. He did not play the rest of the game. So we do not know the status of what Giannis suffered from a sprained ankle standpoint. I mean, sprained ankles are one of those things that can linger for quite a while. And they're something that could be a one-day injury, and he could be back playing on Friday night against the Chicago Bulls. We'll wait to hear that news. Now, Giannis did kind of look all right in the locker room. He gave his girlfriend a puppy and sort of was playing with it and sort of was on, you know, he's limping, but it seemed like he was okay. It didn't seem like it was that serious of an ankle injury. Maybe that's me looking too much into it. Maybe that's just me being a hopeful optimist. So it really is the cherry on top of a shit Sunday for the Milwaukee Bucks, because things have just been, I mean, I'm not going to like recap this game, because here's the thing, guys. It is the same thing every night. We talked about this on the Daily Tap on Monday. We talked about it on Tapping the Keg on Tuesday. It's not worth it. It's not worth me getting all blustery, getting all mad and calling this team a bunch of swear words, because it's literally the same thing over and over again. Yes, I've been broken by the Bucks. Officially, Monday night's game broke me, and we saw the same things happen tonight. The Bucks decided to get down late, and then they started to give a shit again and started to come back, and they nearly got back to where they could. But it's like this team just and it's funny to hear like Fox Sports Wisconsin, because they'll be like, well, this is the MO of this team. It's like, yeah, you got to carry the water a little bit, but let's be real. Like, that's not what you want an MO of a playoff team. Like, maybe a team that's tanky that you lose competitively, like, that's all right. But man, it was bad. It was just, I mean, the one good thing was Jabari Parker played 30 minutes. That's the most he's played since his coming back. Now, a lot of that was because of Giannis' injury, but Jabari had 20 points. He looked pretty good out there. So if the Giannis injury does mean a little more Parker minutes, I don't think anyone's going to at least complain if it's just a one or two game injury, just to see if Jabari can play that minute load, and if Prunty then lets Jabari get back to the starting rotation and sort of has his rollback, because I feel like he deserves it. I feel like Jabari at this point has shown enough that he doesn't necessarily need like a true minute restriction. I get keeping it to 30 minutes, but at that point they need to kind of cut Jabari loose and let him live. He definitely showed that on Wednesday night. Now, I thought it was interesting. Joe Prunty had noted that the Clippers only took one shot that wasn't a three, a layup, or a dunk. And you wonder why that he doesn't, you know, explain this message to his team, because the Bucks keep shooting these mid-range shots like they think it's a productive thing. The Bucks are stuck in the early 2000s, and you just see the Jason Kidd influence from this team still seeps in, and they really do need a fresh voice. I realize that John Horst shot down a bunch of the rumors about Joe Prunty and that he's out after this year. I still think he probably is out, especially with how this has went down the stretch. But Horst had to say those things, and now you look at it and you're like, this team does not play 2018 basketball. They are stuck in the early 2000s, And it's a problem. And they really should see that. I mean, we talked about it on Tampa Cake yesterday. Chris Middleton, just fire the fucking ball. No one's going to be mad at you if you're shooting 9 or 10 threes. And because for the exact reason I said yesterday, there are going to be some games where 6 or 8 of them go in. And that's great. Or there's going to be games where you go 2 of 10, and that's fine too. It's today's NBA. The Bucks need to adopt that. And it's kind of a shame the Bucks aren't in the West, because the Bucks wouldn't make the playoffs in the West. There's a 16 seed playoff, the Bucks wouldn't be in either. Like, it's not that I don't want the Bucks to be in the playoffs. It's more that I just don't know what's left. I mean, if you can get the 7 seed and kind of pull yourself together, and then you're playing Boston, fine. But you haven't beat a good team in a few months. So it's like, how are you expected to win 4 games against this team? And we'll see. We'll just sort of see. It's too bad. I know people are like, well, the Bucks should tank this out. It's kind of hard to do in the East. The East is sort of set with these 8 teams, whether you like it or not. It would take a Detroit miracle for the Bucks to get bumped out of the miracle for the Bucks to get bounced out of the playoffs. You will see about Giannis playing against Chicago or San Antonio this weekend. Games are Friday and Saturday. I'd almost rather have Giannis play against Chicago. I know that sounds crazy, but you want to play against San Antonio. You just want to beat the teams you're supposed to. You don't want to slip up against Chicago. I do think that the Bulls are a mash unit right now. They have barely anybody. Levine's been out. Chris Dunn's been also out. Lauri Markkanen out. Like, the Bulls are definitely in that tank mode. So the Bucks could take advantage of that with or without Giannis. So I redact that. I think get Giannis healthy for the Spurs, or get Giannis healthy for, you know, the upcoming West Coast road trip. I wouldn't be surprised if they let Giannis off until they go to Los Angeles next Tuesday night, the Clippers again. Moving to the Sweet 16 realm. It is, we create a little bit of a rooting guide for at least the 4 regions, about who do you root for in those 4 regions. Now, some may be obvious to you, some may not. And sort of where is Snowtap lying their support? It's almost like a political thing where it's like, we support this team, or we support this unit. Like, we're pushing all of our chips in. So starting in the South, where there are Cinderellas among us, Nevada. Yes, the contrarian selection. Going with Nevada. I know that everybody loves Sister Jean. I love Sister Jean too. I feel like you can't bet against Loyola because of these reasons of they have the faith behind him. But I love Nevada. I like Eric Musselman's just a complete firecracker. I think he's a complete psycho in the best way possible. They play an awesome brand of basketball, just running up and down the court. And so it's hard not to root for Nevada. Nevada, I think, can actually get to the Final Four. I don't know if Loyola can get to the Final Four. I think Nevada has they don't have the size to match up with Kentucky, but they have and then that was supposed to plague them against Cincinnati, and they came back and won. I think that's the kind of the crux of it, is like, they don't have the skill set exactly to beat Kentucky, but they could run Kentucky out of a gym. Grant Buffalo tried to do that, and they were not successful. Michigan gets my vote for the West. Michigan is my favorite Big Ten team. Now, I don't really watch a lot of Big Ten basketball, but Michigan is always a favorite of mine. I love John Beilein. John Beilein's probably one of my top 5, top 10 favorite coaches, and really it's because he brought in the world Mike Yanzi and Kevin Pitsnagel. If for some reason you do not know the names Mike Yanzi or Kevin Pitsnagel, most of Pitsnagel, do yourself a favor and hit the Google machine, turn off the podcast, listen, go look at those guys and look at how they played, because it was incredible. It was when Beilein didn't really have a defense, and it was just these high-scoring affairs in West Virginia. It was fantastic. So that's definitely where I go in the West. In the East, I will say, of course, Villanova, right? You guys had to know that the Villanova thing was coming out. You know, Jay Wright, again, another coach that I adore, as well as that team is just so fun to watch. Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, definitely have a exciting team that's worth worth watching all the way to the national championship. But if they were to lose to West Virginia, I'm not going to be that mad. It must be a coach thing, right? Because now this is the third coach I've mentioned. But Huggy Bear is great. Like Huggy Bear was a guy who it was a noted prick back in Cincinnati for a lot of the different reasons with the Marquette Cincinnati rivalry. But as he's gotten older, he's got more of a curmudgeon. The fact that he wears tracksuits, you can't help but not enjoy Huggy Bear. And the press that West Virginia runs is a lot of fun. And that's definitely something we could keep around for a couple more games if they were to beat Villanova, which I think would be kind of a shocking upset. But we'll talk about that tomorrow as that game is on Friday. To round it out in the Midwest, I have Kansas, but I don't really like anybody from the Midwest. If you talk about one region that's sort of assy, it is that region. Not because I guess it's due to just not having a likable team in there. Like Kansas, fine. Like whatever. Devontae Graham, Malik Newman, they have a decent team, but it's not really exciting. Kansas does this shit every year. Clemson, you'd have to sell me on Clemson. I don't know a ton about them. I mean, they took care of business on last week against Auburn, blowing them out by nearly 40 points. I mean, they're quite a good team, but I have nothing there. Syracuse, we already know where I stand on Syracuse. I've slandered them enough through the podcast that you don't need that. And then Duke is Duke. Like, why would you cheer for Duke? You can't put your support behind the Blue Devils, who I've developed more of a hate on in the last few months than I had in the past. So that's where it's a process of elimination. So Kansas, congrats. You get that spot. We'll see if those teams make it to the Final Four and we get a Snowtap preferred Final Four. So tonight we get the games, and really what to watch for, it's sort of broken down by literally the times the game is on. So one after another in terms of preference, at least on my end. I mean, Loyola Nevada, I think it's going to be an awesome basketball game. I think it's going to be just a lot of 3-point shots. It's going to be a lot of pace. It'll be a fun game. Should be an exciting matchup between the two Cinderellas. And then you get Texas A&M and Michigan. I think that also has a chance to be fun. Mo Wagner versus the big men of the Aggies. Kid, Texas A&M, was it a flash in the pan of what they did last week? Or are they going to kind of keep this thing running? Texas A&M has a little bit of that South Carolina vibe to them. Not necessarily because South Carolina was an unknown. Like, South Carolina didn't have that big of a year. But being that 7 seed who sort of ends up making it to the Elite Eight or the Final Four, we've seen it enough with a higher seed making it that far. Kansas State, Kentucky, Kentucky's all right to watch, but Kansas State really does nothing for me. I feel like that has 20-point blowout written all over it. Maybe that's just me. The same kind of goes for Florida State Gonzaga. It's not that I think Florida State can't compete. They definitely can. I just think Gonzaga is very fundamentally sound, and I think they can take Florida State out of their element. And they are sort of I wouldn't say they're flying under the radar, but they were very impressive against Ohio State. They held, you know, it was a high scoring affair, but they really did a good job of keeping Ohio State at about a 4 to 6 point cushion for that entire game. I think they can do the same with Florida State. So I guess today I'll go Nevada, Michigan, Kentucky, Gonzaga. I think it's kind of all chalk. Now we know if we're going to go all chalk, and Nevada may be a 1-point dog. I can't remember where that line lies, that someone's going to lose out of that mix. I think most likely to lose out of those four is probably Michigan, just because Texas A&M was a top 10 team at one point. I mean, the Wolverines are only a three point favorite. So it's definitely not a lock that the Wolverines get it done. I think Kentucky losing would be the most surprising, along with Gonzaga. I think both those teams losing would be kind of a surprise. And if the tournament holds the form, that's what we'll have. So, okay, Tappers, well, that about does it for today. We will be back tomorrow, talk through what happened on Thursday night, as well as look ahead to Friday's games, and then talk about anything else. We'll see if we get an update on Giannis's ankle, as well as maybe a little bit of Brewer talk. We're a month away from opening day, so maybe start diving in to what's happening with spring training, look at what we can expect heading into this. Brewers did have a couple of injuries to report, with Wade Miley and Boone Logan going down, which isn't great, but it's part of the game. You're gonna have injuries, so we will talk tomorrow, Tappers. Thank you, SnowtapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Also visit us, SnowtapWI.com, and then follow us or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play, tapping the keg for those. And maybe leave a review if you're feeling nice on this Thursday. All right, guys, talk tomorrow. See you later. Bye.